Blog Talk Radio.
Viewer discretion is advised.
We are back. We are back on Sports Underline. It has been a long week. Without talking to you guys, I am Devante. Troy is here. The first of the month. The NBA Finals are here. Gonna get to it. I got baseball to get to. This Kershaw thing, it's gotta be tricky. And we'll talk hockey. I'm a little concerned about WNBA team as well. Troy, how are you today, man?
Pretty good.
Troy, how are you? Good? Okay, I'm gonna make sure you're here, man. I know you're a little distraught, man. I know. But that's where we will start, the NBA Finals. Everybody knows what has happened. A lot of people have watched it, even though a lot of people said it wasn't going to do it because it is the fourth part of the Finals. So, Troy, would you like to start it off, or do you want me to go? Because, I mean, I don't know if you got a lot to say or... I don't know. Like that, do you want to start us off, or should I go ahead and...
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, well, there's a lot has happened in this game. And the Golden State got lucky. I will start with that. They got lucky in this game. Cavs should have won the game. When you went into overtime, I just knew it was over. Like, it was... you don't want to go to overtime. You're not thinking. You're just there. You're just like you're still surprised, amazed at what has transpired in the last 30 seconds. Or you want to say last minute? Go ahead. Now I will say that I hate the new rule of the overturn call. I do, but they did get it right. They got the call right. But if you're going to review it, you should only review it to, is he outside of restricted area, is he in a restricted area, which he clearly, you know, was outside of the area. And you should have just stuck with the, there's a charge. That's a charge. That was a crucial part of the game. And, you know, unfortunately, they overturned. It was bad officiating. They missed calls, you know, and especially for it to be LeBron James. For it to be LeBron James is really crazy because, I mean, Kevin Looney done fouled him. They didn't call it. They called two fouls on LeBron, which, well, two fouls on LeBron. It was strips, and it wasn't a foul. Clearly, great defense by LeBron James. He made the effort to play. Now, after that, we get to... the free throw. I'm not even going to get to what Skip Bayless said today because I almost literally jumped through the TV and cussed him out, talking about, oh, LeBron James need to take that shot instead of passing George Hill. No, it was a good play. Golden State played the type of defense you're supposed to play on LeBron James. Crucial parts of the game where, you know, it's going to be hard for LeBron to beat you when they got Draymond and Kevin Durant on, you know, just – on the other sides, on both sides of the court, just waiting on him to drive. So, you know, the free throw George Hill should have made it. But he looked scared. I was like, oh, Lord, he's probably going to miss it now because just the way he's looking. You know, I was a little concerned. So, you know, he missed. KD didn't box out, first of all. I mean, if J.R. Smith was even smart enough to go up with the shot, then, you know, we're talking KD didn't box out. You boxed out a missed free throw. I don't know what KD was thinking at that moment. And I don't even know what J.R. Smith was. He don't even know what he was thinking. I don't know. Now, you should know. You should know what the score is. You're on the court. Now, for those who want to blame J.R. Smith, I'm not blaming J.R. Smith. I'm blaming George Hill for missing a free throw And I will also blame the refs before I even blame J.R. Smith. None of this happens if the refs didn't overturn that call first. And none of this happens if George Hill makes a free throw. We're talking defense. Now, J.R. Smith is the third leading scorer on the Cavs in yesterday's game. So before we want to get rid of J.R. Smith, let's at least admit that he's one of the most aggressive players on the Cavs team. Because ain't nobody else aggressive. Tristan Thompson was a no-show. George Hill, it was good to see him hit a couple of threes or whatever the case was. But, you know, J.R. Smith, we want J.R. Smith to keep shooting. That's not for you. He was 2-for-6 from downtown, okay? 33%. I'll take that. It's better J.R. Smith in game one of yesterday's game than it's been in the playoffs. I would take that. He's going to play better on Sunday. I believe that. So before we want to kick J.R. Smith off, let's just acknowledge the fact that he was aggressive. Now, I think I've said everything I need to say. If I missed anything, I will come back to it. Troy, the floor is yours.
All right, man. I don't have fault with what you said. I don't too badly disagree with what you said. But I will say this. The Cavaliers played outstanding this whole game. They were whooped by the refs. I feel like there were calls missed on both sides, just more on the Cavaliers side in this case. You mentioned the reach-in by Kevin Looney. You forgot the reach-in by Stephen Curry.
Yes.
Also, the charge and a block call, the overturn. I felt that he was in the restricted, and just because he was not in legal guarding position because of the left foot sliding, I've seen that happen with many of players before, and for the simple fact it's LeBron James, you think he would get the superstar call, but he didn't. In this case, Kevin Durant got the superstar call, and I don't see how. It clearly was a charge to me. He was outside the restricted area. They went back, and they overturned it. Two refs are disagreeing with each other. So you missed two foul calls. That's a crucial call right there. I think they missed three foul calls, actually. The other one will come back to me in a second. I think Kevin Looney got LeBron James twice, actually. So I'm going to say two on Looney, one on Steph Curry, and the crucial charge block call, the overturn. With that being said, J.R. Smith, you can say that he is the third aggressive person on the team, but, hell, he fought like hell to get the points that he did have and didn't hit a lot of shots that he normally does. Okay, he's the third leading scorer this game. Whoop-de-doo. Jordan Clarkson a bit nervous and missing two wide-open threes. That hurt a little bit. LeBron James being aggressive, getting his points, doing what he do. George Hill missing the free throw. Yes, it was a crucial free throw. But with that being said, you can get mad at George Hill. You can get mad at J.R. Smith. Either or, both of them messed up. George Hill should have sunk that free throw. That would put them up by one with, what, about 5, maybe 7 seconds left on the clock. I take my chances with that and rely on a defense that has been so great. It fell into J.R.'s hands. So, yes, you can hold George Hill accountable for missing a free throw, but it fell into J.R.'s hands. Time expiring, he didn't go back up to float it in or try to draw another foul. He brought it out, which isn't necessarily a bad thing if he's going to plan to try and shoot it or drive back in. He had enough time to do both. It's the simple fact he let time run out. This game had been dragged on. It gave the Warriors new life, new breath. The refs was already doing that. LeBron James stripped it away. George Hill had a chance to steal it. He didn't. J.R. Smith gave them a second win, and these guys caught fire in overtime. You're going to have to come out with the same game plan, be a bit more aggressive on both ends. Refs are going to tighten up and maybe not blow the whistle this game as much as they did in game one. And the Cavs might get a couple of kudo points and still could be able to come out of here on the roll with at least one win. How that turns out or what's being said, I don't know.
Well, this was a good defensive game by the Cavs. I said it. They played good defense. I'm going to give Ty Lue some credit, too. He has been good in these playoffs. I know I've criticized him in losses in the playoffs, but for the most part, he has been actually pretty good. I will actually give him a nice round of applause in my head. Not going to do it out loud. But just know that I am giving him a shout-out. I think he is putting the right personnel in. I like what he's doing. Now, I know that I want to see Rodney Hood out there. But for right now, what's going on, he's playing the right players. When those guys come in, they are giving some type of spark. The bench is better than the Golden State bench. I've said it coming into the series. I mean, Livingston had himself a very good game. I would take that if I'm a Golden State fan. Livingston's effort. Even Kevin Looney. I don't know what the Cavs are doing with that. But Kevin Looney, like the effort. You know, 8 points. I know it ain't much, but for a guy like Kevin Looney, that's a good effort there. Draymond Green hit a couple of big threes. You know, I don't know what's going on with Durant. He was the worst starter out of the starting five. He was. I know that Looney only has 8 points, but you talk about KD ain't shooting well. I don't know what was going on. This wasn't right. I mean, he was still aggressive, you know, at least getting to the free throw line. But, you know, I want more from him. You know, you're everybody talking, you're the second best player. I need you to guard the best player, LeBron James. I don't know what you're doing. That's what I want to see. Like, Troy, what do you expect in game two? Like, do you expect another good game? Troy, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. The phone was just on mute. I have company. I'm trying to keep the noise cancellation to a minimum while I talk. But like I was just saying, though, I'm still mad at game one. It's probably going to take me until Sunday to get over that. I feel like the refs didn't do a good job for either team with the calls that they did, making the calls that they didn't. I felt like the Cavaliers had this game in their hands and let it slip away from a crucial free throw to a player not knowing what the hell he's doing. I don't care. You can defend J.R. Smith, say he's the third best, this, that, and the third. But I know he better fucking redeem himself, or he could have just cost them this series. Getting game one in Golden State on home floor is a very big damn deal, and that still pisses me off. So you're saying I can't blame J.R.? Well, George Hill did miss the free throw. I'm mad at George Hill, too. I'm mad at Clarkson and a couple other guys for not showing up and doing what they did. And once again, hopping on LeBron James' back with 51, the sixth player in history to score 50-plus points in a finals series, and the only one out of those six players to lose. It's complete crap. Anywho, I'm mad at a couple other players. I'm mad at George Hill. I don't know why you can't sink the second free throw. Yes, it's a lot of pressure. You've never been in this spot before. I get it. But with JR getting that rebound, who in the hell dribbles out instead of going back up? Or if you want to dribble out, like you said, I give JR the benefit of the doubt because it's JR. Yes, he's streaky. When he's hot, he's hot. When he's cold, he's cold. But I would have probably been satisfied if he would have took it out and shot a long two or a three ball. What do I expect in game two? I expect the same game plan. I want to see that same defense. I want these guys to be more aggressive and do a little bit more. I mean, how much more can you ask? As much as it takes to win a championship. Ty Lue has been, actually, like you said, a pretty good coach these final series. I feel like these teams are pretty familiar with each other, even though the personnel has changed for both groups. I felt like they match up well together, and I didn't expect that to happen, that coming out. And we don't know if Iguodala is going to be ready for game two, so he could play a big factor as well. But with that being said, I expect the same intensity on the offense and defensive side of the Cavaliers, and I expect a different Golden State team as well. So what do I expect? I expect to win, nothing less. I don't care if it's flashy, gritty, 1 point, 10 point. I just want a win.
Well, it'll be very tough to win game two. I know that I've said Golden State is vulnerable. I do believe that. They were vulnerable last night. You know, let's see how they respond. I'm still not. I hate the shot selections and from the Golden State. I hate it. You know, it seems like Steph throws it up and it looks good when it goes in. You know, all of that good stuff. But you literally got to, you know, be like, oh, my gosh, is that going to go in? Like Draymond threes. Is that going to go in? You know, I still got to see if this bench will come in. Now, JaVale McGee had a good spark in the minutes he came in. I was they need him in, but still, they still wasn't rebounding the ball as effective as the Cavs were. I mean, Cavs had plus 15 on the rebounds. You know, when you look at that, you're like, okay, they should have won a game. You look at Golden State, didn't turn it over a lot. You know, that's one thing. If you don't turn it over, you're not going to lose the game. You know, 11 turnovers by the Cavs, 5 from Brown. It's not good. JR had a couple.
And that not because they won. They were on the verge of losing that game without turning the ball over that many times, but okay.
Well, yeah, you are, but still, even if Golden State was to have a few more turnovers, you know, than what you had, you easily win that game. Like, you got to force turnovers. You got to look at other things. You know, you can't look at just a play. You can't look at the JR play, because even if you guys did win, you know, you're still going to look at the turnovers. You're still going to be like, okay, we turned it over a lot. It's not good. You know, if we're going to go out and win game two, we got to limit the turnovers. We got to force turnovers from them. We got to make sure they don't have 31 assists. I mean, you can't just look at last plays of games. It just can't happen. Golden State, they won the game. They're going to be like, we have to rebound the ball. We're going to win game two. We're not going to win if we get out rebounded again. That's not going to happen. You have to look at things that you lacked in win or loss. It ain't just one play. Because you could have easily won if Golden State would have easily went won if they had as many rebounds as Cleveland or box out.
Nobody's just looking at one play. It's a plethora of plays that could have ended this for both teams. It just so happened to be Cleveland.
Yeah, and unfortunately it was. Kevin Love was 1-for-8 from downtown. No one's talking about that. You know, you have to look at things. Small detail, 1-for-8. 1-for-8 from downtown is not good from your second best player on the team. It's not good. You need efficient offense. If you're going to shoot, you got to knock it down too. We were just all talking about J.R. Smith not making shots, but guess what? He made 2 threes, and Kevin Love only had one. Now, I know J.R. hit one in overtime, you know, latter part of the overtime, but still, his percentage would have been better than Kevin Love's. No one's talking about Kevin Love. Because, okay, he had 21-13. Yeah, I mean, that's still a good stat line, but you're 1-for-8 from downtown. Jeff Green, you're 1-for-6 from downtown. You've got to make shots. Jordan Clarkson, you have to make shots too. And you're taking bad shots, Clarkson, on top of that. You have to make shots. It's not just, you know, JR and Georgia. I'm nitpicking, like, you know, what you would do, Troy. This is something you would do. You would look at it, this team can't do this. You got to do this. And then on Golden State side, I talk about rebounding. They got a rebound. Kevin Durant can be 1-for-7 from downtown. And good thing he got Steph and Clay, because they hit 5 of them each. And Draymond
is big. It's the Golden State Warriors. One of those guys can do that. Why? For the simple fact they have 3 other all-stars that they can lean back on. Cavalier side, yes, I've already said that these guys have to step up and they have to do better. Jordan Clarkson didn't have bad shots. He took 2 bad ones. Wide open threes that he missed. Yes, JR's percentage would be more than Kevin Love. But come on, man. Are we seriously sitting up here comparing? You can compare everybody on this right. Everybody has to do better. You can't just point out certain people. The whole team has to do better as a whole.
Well, there's still, I do have to nitpick. Because, I mean, Clarkson takes bad shots in game one.
Is what I'm saying. Like, it's going to look bad regardless if they win or if they lose. They have to pick that up regardless of a win or a loss.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm nitpicking both sides of the team, both teams. KD, on Golden State side, he has to play better. He has to. He got good effort. I haven't seen Steph Curry play like this in no finals game.
No.
You mean, he's done it before.
Steph Curry
is
going to pick up this line, unless they all just cold.
Yeah, and I like the aggressiveness of Steph. You know, KD, you got to get your head in the game. You let JR grab that rebound. You put a situation where you could have lost the game because you didn't box out. Because now all we're going to be talking about George Hill missing the free throw. And then KD grabbing the rebound, they call him timeout. You heard him. Steve Kerr was ready to call a timeout. They grabbed the rebound. But you didn't box out. Kevin Durant, you got to box out. Yeah, you guys won the game. Better be lucky. Kevin Durant, you didn't box out. Yeah, I got to nitpick stuff like that. I have to. You know, we're all just so focused on JR, the refs, George Hill. You gotta look at other things, too. And if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm like, KD, you're supposed to rebound. I'm sure you trust that to me. You gotta rebound. You have to. Because we could have lost this game because you didn't rebound. KD, you're the best player on this team. You have to. Fundamentals. I always talk about fundamentals. Troy probably hate me for always saying that. That's fundamentals. And nobody did fundamentals yesterday. It just wasn't. I mean, J.R. Smith got no score. George Hill, you got to breathe. Breathe in and out. Then shoot the free throw. You can't take the pressure. You don't need to be in the game. He don't need to be in the game. He need to be out the game. And KD, box out. Because you got a 7-foot wingspan, 7-foot-6 wingspan. All you got to do is just jump up. You got to rebound. You ain't box out. Ain't do nothing. Ain't do nothing at all. So, like I say, we'll see what happens Sunday night. It's going to be exciting. Can't wait. There is two-day rest for the NBA Finals this year. I think it was like that last year. But it is this year, so you won't see the Tuesday night. It has to used to be Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. It will be Sunday, Wednesday, and then I would believe I want to look at this because I could be wrong about this. I don't know if it's every day, but I will end up looking at this. Troy, I know you see what the Pistons are doing. Like, I'm moving on to this, but I'm a little interested in what the Pistons are trying to do. Got rid of the GM. They're looking at a whole bunch of guys, a coach. I don't even know who they're going to hire. I mean, like, I know you're seeing this, Troy. Like, I know it.
Potential hires. Do I really care at this moment? No. It seems like we're going in a good direction now. It seems like you're just trying to hire anybody who would take the right paycheck or pay cut and could bring something new to the business. I'm very curious to see what Gore and the rest of management will do to get a new GM and coach.
Yeah, and I don't know who wants to be here as the GM. I mean, I'll gladly just take it just because I'd be a GM or even a coach. But just anybody that has the resume of being a GM and a coach or just have a resume of being a part of the NBA organization, I don't know who wants to take over this team. I mean, I think you have a good enough team to make the playoffs. Even with the guys you had last year. They're just healthy. You have that. And, I mean, yes, you have Blake now. And if he's healthy, you have a good shot. Andre Drummond is improving his game over the summer. I think he's going to be just like Joel Embiid. It's going to be the same thing. I know people are like, oh, Joel Embiid took advantage of him. That's exactly why he's working on his game. That's an encouragement to him. Joel Embiid destroyed me in all the games I played against him this year. Tall junk. I don't like that. I'm going to be better than Joel Embiid. And I say he has a chance. Now, whoever coaches this team, if it is, Lord have mercy, Dwayne Casey. Now, I'm not saying he's a god-awful coach. He's decent enough. He's more of an assistant coach than me. But he can at least get us to the playoffs. I would at least admit that. And then with Beeline, I've just seen that, saw that a few hours ago. If we get Beeline, what is Beeline going to do? Because he's old. He is old as dirt. Why would he want to coach this team? Might as well stay in Michigan, chill. You ain't got to deal with nothing. You just there doing what's great for the Michigan program. You do great every year, just about Beeline. And it's just any coaching situation. I do respect him. He's just old. I mean, why would we want somebody old to be our coach and we ain't winning now? I can see if we were in the conference finals and, you know, we just like, okay, we're going a different approach. Or we could have been in the Raptors' shoes where the Raptors, you know, lost in the semifinals, the second round, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, they were the best team in the East. Like, if that happened, then yeah. But, I mean, I don't understand it. Maybe getting Casey would be the better hire just because, you know, you're not winning now. And then GM, I don't know who they're going to get GM. Man, that was just a surprise to me. I didn't think they were going to part ways with Bauer, honestly. And, you know, I just don't know, man. I'm hoping that we do something to help us out because the draft is in a few weeks and we can make some trades. We can do something. We got to find somebody. This guy, Bauer, then did our scouting. He did the scouting for the draft or whatever. Just scouting. And then next thing you know, he's fired, which sucks. That sucks for him. And, you know, I was just surprised to see the Beeline news as well. I remember I was just in the car. I'm just like, wait, Beeline? Like, this is in each interview with this? I'm appalled because, I mean, you make a national championship game and then, you know, you interview for a head coach job in the NBA. I'm still surprised. Great run. You can possibly win it again. Well, I mean, go again. Because, I mean, they didn't win. But they can win the Big Ten tourney again. I said that can happen. I mean, it seems like they get it done every year. It seems that way. I mean, if we won it 2 years in a row, go ahead and go for three. Win a Big Ten conference tournament again. Do it. Go for three. You have a good chance. Really good shot. Michigan as a whole has a good shot at making some noise in football and in basketball. Now, I know a lot of people not giving them a chance in football, but we'll get through that one. College football season do awaits us. But come on, Beeline. You don't want this job. You don't want a choice. You want this job. You want that job, man? I want it, but it'd be stressful. I don't want to be stressed. Nobody wants to be on this. Nobody wants it. Anyway. If you guys want to get on the NBA, you want to get in on the Pistons, Michigan fans and things like that, call us 949-270-5945. Get in on this finals game one. I mean, I've had a lot. I've had big discussions about game one, man. All day today. All day, man. And I'm trying to just fathom here. It's not over. They go to State won. Cavs had a chance to win. But now it's like, okay, Cavs, if you lose Sunday night, get a game on Wednesday at home, get a game. But look, I want to say Friday, but I could be wrong. I want to say Friday. But, you know, you get two games at home. You have a shot at winning two games at home. You know, it's good to steal one on the road. And game four will be Friday, by the way, next Friday. And then it will be the two-day break, where game seven would be Father's Day, 8 o'clock. So how great would that be, too? But anyway, the spread is going down this time. Vegas is being a little nice. It's at 11.5. Now, it opened up at 12.5. I saw it last night. It's at 11.5. And Vegas is saying, okay, they covered. They lost by 10. It was 12, the final spread. And they covered. So they're giving them a little respect. Half point. It's like a whole point away. We'll see what transpires come Sunday, come 7:30 p.m., spread changes. Troy, I'm telling you this, I would love to watch game two. I would love to watch game two with you, man. Wherever. You come over here, I'll come over there. It doesn't matter.
We'll pick a place and a spot.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I would really love to. It'd be great. It'd be great, like, when we watch the conference finals. It'd be great. But, Troy, I'm going to switch gears here. Let's switch gears to baseball. I know you've been watching the Tigers, right? Sure, yeah. That was a good series win against the Angels. Very good series win. Now, we did get a win due to the rain. I will admit that. Wednesday, we had to be lucky it rained because we was able to get Ohtani out of there and go through the bullpen of the Angels. Now, Tigers have been playing some good baseball. They've been one of the hottest teams in baseball. With the Indians, too. Indians has been hot. The 26 and 30. Now, they're playing the Blue Jays. They're here. They're at home. They should win that. I know I talked about it about a month ago, saying the Blue Jays is not going to be easy. But Blue Jays is starting to struggle. They don't have Josh Donaldson. A lot of things are happening. And they get the Yankees. This is going to be a test. The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Indians. Because the Indians are on fire. And I will get to the Indians in a minute. I don't want to gloat on the Tigers. They got wins they're supposed to. They beat the White Sox, won a series. They wasn't really supposed to beat the Angels in that series. It really could have been 2-2. But they did it. I give them all the credit. I knew they were going to lose on Thursday. I was like, oh, this is it. They're going to lose. Lose Thursday. Guess what? They won. They shut me up. And I was happy that they won. I wasn't even upset. And I betted against them. I wasn't even upset. That's the one time I wasn't upset that a Detroit team has won, and I bet it on the other team. I was very excited for them. But this is a tough stretch, and this is all for, you know, starting on Monday, the doubleheader. We get the Red Sox Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And if you want to know, I think the matchups will be available, or they might already be available. As far as Yankees, CC Sabathia gets the start. At first it was Severino, but Severino will start the night game, 7:10 start. So when we're on, we will have a lot to talk about the Tigers and Yankees. You know, I'm going to talk about that. But the Red Sox will have Rodriguez and Carpenter. Not really a sexy matchup, even though Rodriguez has been good this year. And then he's playing Hardy against Pomerantz. We should win that one. And then it's Matt Boyd against Chris Sale on Thursday night. Should be fun. I think that's going to be a matchup, 7:10, to watch. I'm looking forward to it. And then we get the Indians. I think we're going to be facing Bauer. And I don't know who starts after Bauer. But I know we're going to face Bauer. So that's exciting enough right there. But this is a big, tough test. Because the Red Sox, let's start in order here. Because I ain't talking about no Blue Jays. Blue Jays are terrible now with no players. Let's start with the Yankees. Yankees, of course, you know, lots of power in that lineup. CC Sabathia is not looking very good now. It looks like he's going through something. I don't know. But it's also looking like Didi Gregorius, he got to find his offense. Brett Gardner is just one of those guys you got to look out for. Giancarlo's got to, you know, he's getting his hits going now. You know, it's pretty much the pitching. You don't want to see Aroldis Chapman. You don't want to see Chad Green. Dylan Patances, he's got to get it going. This is still a very good bullpen you don't want to see. Then on Red Sox side, JD is on fire. Mookie Betts, I believe he's going to be playing tonight against the Astros. I didn't look at the lineup. I know they're going to be starting in a minute. I'm going to actually put that game on. Pedroia, I don't know if he's going to play. I think he's supposed to play against Astros tonight too. But anyway, those guys should be available to play next week. This is a tough team. We all know that. Benintendi, JD, Mookie Betts. It's amazing what Mookie Betts and JD are doing. Hitting for power and average. That is scary. And another thing I want to talk about with the Red Sox, and I'll get to that. I'll get to them in a minute. But I do have to talk about them releasing a player, which might have been good for them going forward. But That's gonna be real tough. You got to face Chris Sale. I know he just had a bad start against the Atlanta Braves, but he always do bad against them. So let's be a little fair because he don't have any type of support with that. This is gonna be an interesting series: Red Sox and Astros. But I'm going to watch the Red Sox. I want to see how they play against the Astros, just for me to have a little confidence coming in on Monday to talk about will this team actually beat the Red Sox? Can they win a series against them? And Troy, them Indians, it's looking like they are back to at least win the division, because they ain't winning no playoff series. I still don't see that, but I'm tell you this, man. They are somewhat scary because I've seen their lineup, and I must say that I'm a little bit impressed with the lineup that he puts out there. This is usually a lineup. Frankie Lindor starts off. He's a leadoff hitter. And then Michael Brantley. And then Jose Ramirez, Juan. And you got two guys switch hitters, and Brantley's a lefty, so it's pretty much lefty-lefty, day in, day out. And that's something that Francona does anyway, goes lefty crazy, and pretty much Encarnacion's the only righty that you're going to see. But I tell you, Lindor is averaging 311, Jose Ramirez 302, Brantley's 337. That is remarkable. What this team is able to do. Because when I look at how they play, and it's just, they're going to score in the first inning. It seems that way. Now, I'm going to watch them against the Twins. I want to see if they do this. But that's a tough series, too. Troy, do you believe in the Tigers, man? Can they make some type of effort to win this division, get to the Indian Series, and once again have a chance to take the division lead? Do you believe in them, man?
Of course I do. It's my Tigers.
It's hard for me. They're fun to watch. I've never been so excited to watch this team, and they're not even going to make – I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're very exciting. I want to look at, like, how many games back they are as far as wild card. Because, I mean, they're 4.5 games out of the AL Central. I would take that. I would take that a little bit. I would take it. Because the Cubs are 4 games back. St. Louis is 4.5 games back up. Milwaukee's playing pretty good baseball, too. That bullpen in Milwaukee is really good. I'm trying to tell people about that. But, you know, like, oh, yeah, and by the way, your Rockies, they should win that division, buddy. They should. Big time. But back to the Tigers, they're 8 games out of the wild card spot. So it's going to be pretty hard to make the wild card. That's why I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Like, Seattle's in there. Seattle's playing good baseball right now, too. It's weird. My surprise team of last year doing good. So it looks like Angels. It's still set in stone for the Angels to do good next year. But see, right now, you will see Yankees and Seattle play, and Yankees are going to need to win that division because that'll be a tough matchup. But that's just if it starts now. Cleveland and Houston will play. Boston plays the winner, Yankees, Seattle. I think they can make some noise, but Cleveland is one of the hottest teams. And I didn't even look at Cleveland's schedule. I know they got Minnesota, and I'm going to be paying attention to this. I'm going to be tuned into this game right now, but as I look at the Indians' schedule, it's 30-25 right now. I remember I talked about how awful this team's been, but their offense has now stepped up. And those three guys, it's really tough to get them out. And they get Milwaukee. So that Milwaukee series will tell me a lot to get the day off before they come here next weekend. I'm very interested to see how they do. They're at home, but they get Milwaukee. That's going to be one of the games I do pay attention to, one of the series I do pay attention to. It's only two-game series. Now, they've played earlier this year, and they split it 1-1. Suter and Kluber went right at it, and Hader got them out to close. And then Carlos Carrasco was able to win. So it was a very good series then. less than a month ago, beginning of May. It was about May 8th or whatever. It was Tuesday, whatever. But I'm interested in that series to see how they do. Going in, you know, go ahead and play the Tigers. I'll let you guys know how I feel Wednesday night, because the Cleveland and Milwaukee series will be over with, and they get a nice break. They're gonna face Jose Berrios. I don't think the Indians will score a run. Jose Berrios is a tremendous pitcher. I know he's allowed 9 home runs, but him being at home, I feel good about it. But anyway, I digress. I'm hoping that the Tigers do some good things. Troy, how do you feel about your Capitals, man? I want you to just go, just get excited. Get excited for your Capitals, man.
I'm not going to get excited. I'm just going to tell you that they're doing what they need to do. The curse is broken. Told you they'd do it before the Wizards. Told you they'd do it before the Nationals. I'm just going to say I told you so.
Well, yeah, that's another reason why you should glow. What they're doing right now is very good games. It's been very good Stanley Cup Finals, so I would tell you this. Game 3 is tomorrow, I believe. I'm not mistaken. Yes, Game 3 is tomorrow. Capitals are favorites. That is a low money line, so it could go either way. It's going to be a very good this is just a great Stanley Cup Finals. I didn't believe so. I thought Vegas would just wipe the floor off of them. They still can, but, you know, Washington, it's been good on the road. And if you play great on the road, you have a very good chance of winning a championship in any situation. If you can do that, you have a great – and they've been – it has been remarkable just how great they've been on – the road to this playoffs. They've gotten a win in Vegas. That's a very tough place to win at, in T-Mobile Arena. And they did it. Game 2. Spot on. Great. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Because I think the winner of Game 3 is going to win it all. I'm going to say that. And Monday will be Game 4. So we'll talk you up into that moment. Game 4. And we'll keep you updated. That's going to be something to watch. Good that will be on. And just that, as far as finals, because it'll be very hard for me to pay attention to both at the same time. Really will be. So, I still think Vegas will win. I know Troy still has Washington. But I'm going to stick with Vegas. I think to, here you go. Go ahead and get it done. You have no business being in here. Washington, you have always had chances to make the Stanley Cup Finals. This time you've done it this year, and you will be the best team in hockey. And but if you do win, you will be solidified as best team in hockey just because of it, because you've won it. So, I mean, like we said, we shall see. Excuse me. We shall see what happens. But I'm pretty excited, excuse me again, about what's going to transpire in this Stanley Cup Finals. How many games do it go, Troy? I know you got Caps. You got them in 6. I'm going to take Vegas in 6.
7.
I mean, why not? Why not 7? I'll take it. I raised the question, the Caps, do they have a shot at beating them 3 more times? They do. They have a good chance. Just the way they're playing, they do. I told you I'm surprised. Been surprised since winning the conference finals against Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay was awful. They choked. I mean, yeah, you're talking about 2 of the teams who chokes every year, playoffs, playing each other. So the ultimate choke team is Tampa Bay. There you go. Washington has lost that choke card just because they've made it this year, the Stanley Cup Finals. So they've never been there, at least Alex the Great. But I'm still going to give the edge to Vegas. I am. Nothing's going to change my mind unless Washington wins the next 2. Washington win the next two, I expect them to win. I will expect them to win. If they win the next two at home, I will expect it. Good as they've been. I really do. You guys want to chime in on that too? You can call us. 949-270-5945. Still on the NBA Finals. We will turn back around to that. Charlie, I don't know if you know that Miggy is back in the lineup too for the Tigers. That was great to see him being back. Tigers are up 4-0 on Toronto right now. I will go through some matchups that I want to see. Pittsburgh, St. Louis is about to tip, go to the first pitch. I was about to say tip off. Gosh, I'm still in NBA mode. Talion and Nicholas, those are very good pitching matchups. Must-see matchups. I want to see Bartolo Colon against the Angels offense. Nah, don't seem bad. Pavetta and Stratton, not a bad matchup, but I probably won't watch it because both teams are not on my radar. Tomorrow, Chris Archer faces the Seattle Mariners pitching, hitting lineup, I should say. And he's been phenomenal, so that's something. He's an underdog. His team is an underdog, but that's a tight one right there. That's a late game. Early games tomorrow. Let's see. I'm going to watch Tanaka. Well, it's the Yankees. I'm not watching the Yankees anyway. Bauer would get Lance Lynn. Jay Happ against Matt Boyer. That's a good pitching matchup. That's something to watch, Detroit fans. Also, David Price versus Justin Verlander, ex-teammates, Tigers. JV is going against the Boston lineup this time, Troy, with an ERA of 1.11. Amazing stuff. 1.11. Yes, two losses. I'm still surprised at that. But this is also just in. Mookie Betts is on 10-day DL, so he definitely won't be playing against the Tigers. So that's something we kind of avoided. But I would love to see him against JV. Jacob DeGrom against Mike Montgomery playing against the Cubs. That's going to be fun. They're in a matchup right now. I matched up 2-0 last time I checked. Cole Hamels, Garrett Richards as well. Let's see. Sunday. Anybody I want to watch? I don't even know if I want to watch Michael Fulmer, Troy. I can't stand watching Michael Fulmer this year. I don't know what has happened with him. John Lester, Steven Matz. It's also a good one. Anibal Sanchez of the Braves going against the Nationals. Be interesting. Let's see. Who else I want to watch? Chick Arrieta. Just because it's Arrieta. I don't want to watch Suarez. King Felix against Snell, that's a good pitching matchup. And Ricky P, Charlie Morton. Sunday Night Baseball, 7:38 on ESPN. And then, of course, you know, Game 2 on ABC of the finals to watch. And just for you guys, the 1 o'clock game on Monday, Yankees-Tigers, that's the only 1 o'clock game that I do have. It's not a lot of baseball on Monday. It's only 5 games, but 2 of the 5 are already dealt. It's the doubleheader of Yankees-Tigers. So Monday will be a very slow day in baseball. 3 late games, and then there's early baseball on Tuesday. I'll get to that on Monday. Troy, any of those matchups intrigue you? I'm intrigued by David Price, JV. That's a must-watch for me. I don't know about you. That is for me. Any of those? I would love to see J.D. Martinez against JV. I'm telling you, I got to see David Price and JV. That's the one. Tomorrow, I hope it don't cross my mind. I hope I don't forget. Things like that can't happen. I just hope I don't. I have a little issue. Well, not really an issue. I love what I'm seeing in WNBA. I'm not going to say issue. But I remember I was still saying that I'm very concerned about one thing. And you know, honestly, it's kind of tough to be concerned. And they're going against your team right now, too, by the way. And this is the Minnesota Lynx. They're going against your Phoenix Mercury. And this is where I'm concerned. Like, you're playing, you're still playing great basketball. I will give you that. But I'm trying to be nice because they are, I have to respect them. Just to the fact that, you know, they are champions. They're 2-3. They've beaten Dallas, beaten the Liberty. They lose to the Mystics, who are playing great basketball. Angel McCarthy then hit the big shot for Atlanta. Dream, who's playing some good basketball. They're facing the Mercury. They get the Sparks on Sunday. That's also a game to watch. It's on League Pass, so you better get your League Pass to get the rematch. But this is a chance for Minnesota to really get off to a very, very bad start. Now, they blew out the Sky. Well, that was preseason. Let's go to the regular season. They lose at the buzzer twice or just close game twice. I don't know if I can trust this team. It's good to see Sylvia Fowles still getting it in. You know, I don't know what Simone Augustus is doing. Lindsey Whalen, Becca Brunson. I mean, I know that's your starting five right there. Maya Moore, Sylvia Fowles. And Sylvia Fowles is on a different level. She's on an MVP-type level. She probably won't win it. But, I mean, it's those two, but Augustus got to step up, Troy. What's going on with your girl, Simone Augustus? What's going on with her? I don't know what's going on with her. I'll take the 12 points. I'll give her 12 points a game. Okay, she can have that. But this team going to really be good. They will get past this Mercury because, Troy, I'm telling you, I like this Mercury team. Brittany Griner, Taurasi, and Bonner, that's a good big three. And let's not even forget about January. And let's not forget about Little, both of the Littles, but really Sancho. And if Leilani Mitchell can play, like I know she can, Leilani Mitchell is shooting at a horrible field goal percentage at 21%. So horrible. But those other players shooting very efficient, and I'm concerned that Minnesota could be knocked off by Sparks. The Sparks are loaded. Sparks are loaded. They're the favorite. All types of respect, they're the favorite. They just beat your Mercury by 10 points. And, you know, Candace Park only played one game, only put up 10 points. You know, she got to get her feet wet. Go to Gumake, Chelsea Gray, Odyssey Sims. I mean, they're playing tremendous. They got a big four. And I'm gonna even throw Essence out there, Essence Carson. Throw her out there. That's going to be a tough team to beat, Troy. And I ain't saying that because I love everything L.A., Troy. I ain't saying that. I want you to blame that. And I tell you, I like what the Dream is doing. Tiffany Hayes, Andrew McCarthy, that's just a 1-2 punch. They need one more. It's just a good, it's a fun year, man. I hope y'all enjoy WNBA. Because I tell you, I am. Dallas Wings. Skylar Diggins been good. Ken Bage, I mean, you already know that's just a huge addition. Big body. Hopefully they can be good too. And I think they should trade Ariel Powers. They're not using her. I want to see her excel. I want to see her in. It's been a good year, Troy. You believe in Washington Mystics, Troy? Like, can this just be the year of Washington outside of the Wizards? Can it be?
Yep.
Can it be, man? Because the Mystics looking pretty good. Christy Tolliver, that's the best player on the team. And you know, you already know they got Della Dime. And Ariel Atkins has been playing well. Tasha Cloud. a lot of girls shooting fishing over there. This team is looking pretty good. They just got one loss, and that was to Seattle. It's 4 points. They've shown some good things. Good life for Washington. Let's see if the curse will begin once again. I would just throw the Mystics in there because they're just a Washington-based team. They're not one of the four major pro teams, but I'm throwing them in there. I'm worried about Minnesota. You worried about any WNBA team, Troy?
It's my Mercury. The links pretty much pan out straighten up and fly right for the rest of the year, every year. So just my Mercury I'm concerned about. However, I am kind of curious about the Mystics as well as the Sky.
Well, the Sky, I don't think they're going to be good anyway. They're going to need another year where they can at least compete. And I like Quigley, Diamond DeShears. You already know I like Diamond DeShears because that's all I talked about every time. It's all I talked about, Diamond DeShears. But I am concerned about the Lynx. So there you have it with that. Please, and as we get to the end of the show, I want you guys to enjoy the NBA Finals, Game 2. A lot of you guys said, oh, it's not going to be boring. Golden State's going to destroy them, which could be true. Golden State just might destroy them. They might do it, Troy. They might destroy them Game 2. They might win by 30. They might not. According to Vegas, it's going to be probably around the same amount of points.
They would. Supposed to run off with that third quarter in game one, and they didn't, only holding a lead of six. The Cavaliers neutralized them in their best quarter. With that being said, the Golden State Warriors, it's like my control over Devo, only blows the Cavaliers out maybe once or twice in the series. All their wins are pretty much closely fought and contested, and it usually is one play or one run besides the game when the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors play each other in the finals.
Yeah, I must say that if Cleveland do lose game two, it's not over. I don't want people to say it's over. So the same thing happened last year in the finals. This could have easily been 2-2. We're talking game five. It's going to be close. It could go at least six games. This can go at least six games. I pick Cavs in 7, though. I'm going to just say it's going to go 7. I pick Cavs in 7. They win. When it matters at Oracle. See, they lost game 1. It didn't matter. Game 7. When it matters, it's going to be Father's Day. We could expect something good. And that's only if it goes 7 games. It will be on Father's Day. For those that have just tuned in, didn't hear what we talked about, there it is. You know, replay the show if you missed the beginning, because there was a lot being said about how we felt about the game one. So I mean, I'm not upset. Troy was very upset yesterday. It was very hilarious to me. And it was only because I like to tease Troy. That's the only reason why it was hilarious. He was upset. Yeah, I have every right to be upset. This is boy Brian. Brian needs help. He does. Because I know it. He does. He needs help. He needs the best he can get from his staff, from his team. He needs it. Monday show, we will discuss game 2. And we hope that you guys join us on that. Also, Tigers, Yankees, I have to talk that. Me and Troy have to talk it. Because, okay, it's first off, it's the Tigers. And y'all know I love the Yankees. Doubleheader. We're going to see if CC Sabathia can get his pitching in order. Because he's been struggling. And he's been pissing me off. And it's a slow night in baseball. So we'll go over the weekend in baseball. And hopefully the Pistons hire a GM or something. I mean, come on now. I'm going to need something. please. Please, let's get something done here. Nation, Pistons organization, do something for us. We need something. But anything else you got to say, Troy?
Nope.
Well, I want to leave with this one note. This is a message to J.R. Smith.
Stay off the weed.